We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. Coming at you Wednesday night after the Timberwolves knocked off the Oklahoma City Thunder at Target Center 98-90. If you only watched the first quarter of this game, you'd be pretty surprised with that final score, I think. I guess if you watched the whole game, you're still pretty surprised by that final score. Just given how the Wolves started this game, they started with their full complement of players. They had all of their players out of COVID protocols for the first time since December 15th. And they really played like it to start. The starting five of Pat Bev, D'Lo, Ant, Vando, and Kat, that group that has a crazy net rating of like 50 over the course of the season, they were back cooking early. They played like a group to start the game that crushes teams when all five of them are on the floor together. Those five were on the floor together for the first 6.5 minutes of the game like they normally are. And when they started subbing out players, the score was 20-8. And then by the end of the first quarter, it was 30-10. Like, the Wolves were that dominant team. The Thunder turned the ball over as many times as they scored points in that first quarter, 10. And it was the typical pattern of how the Wolves' starting lineup find success. They create turnovers that lead to easy buckets, that bring up the energy, and then they kind of ride that energy. In the first, Ant had 9 points, and he had 4 steals. Pat Bev made 2 threes. Kat had 5 points, 5 boards. Vando had a steal, an offensive rebound. Actually, had 2 kind of nifty assists. And D'Lo added 4 points, too. It was the type of energy and result that typically kind of inspires a blowout. But as Chris Finch said after the game, I think it was one of those typical games where you start well and lose focus. Then when you lose focus, you lose intensity and purpose, and that's what happened. That is totally what happened. The Thunder were the more aggressive team almost the entirety of the rest of the night. Halfway through the second quarter, again, after they were down 30-10 after one, the Thunder had cut that 20-point deficit down to 8. And by the fourth quarter, they'd cut it all the way down to 1. I mean, yes, the Wolves prevailed the game. They won, but it was one of those underwhelming squeeze away with a win wins. Here's what Anthony Edwards had to say about it after the game.
Anthony obviously came back. I think they're down 21 and closed it down to 1. But you guys responded. You've done that a few times this year. What does that say about this group that, it can be difficult when you blow leads, but to be able to not panic and respond like that, what does it say about you guys?
Man, we played bad today. That was it. Yeah, we played bad today. It's all good, though. We came out with the win. That's all that matters.
What do you think happened after that first quarter, where things kind of fell off quite a bit?
Man, we just couldn't get a rebound. I think that was the only thing. Like, it ain't like they started hitting threes. They didn't. I mean, they hit some threes. Supposed to hit some. We just couldn't get no rebounds. They would just get rebounds, dumping it off, layup. That's all that was going on for real.
Ant did follow up those comments later by asserting confidence, as he kind of always does. When I asked him about this sort of new chapter of the season that they're entering, and just kind of getting back on track, he bluntly said, we are going to make the playoffs. And it's funny, kind of throughout the game, I found myself thinking about Ant a lot. You would think in the return of Kat and D'Lo, you'd be like, oh, Kat and D'Lo are back. Like, what is this going to look like? But I think I kind of realized tonight that I'm at the point where I think I know what Cat and D'Lo are. Like, yes, they can both probably level up a bit offensively. Cat, you know, by handling those double teams a little bit better, and D'Lo just by getting back to his normal shooting averages. So Ant's kind of the wild card, right? There was this, entering the season, there's this sort of maybe naive hope that Ant would take another leap to start this year on top of what he did at the end of last season. And it hasn't been the leap. Like, there have been flashes, as you know, but overall, I think it's fair to say it's kind of felt like the second half of last season, which got me thinking tonight about how it was at this point of last year where Ant did turn a corner. You know, a lot of people attribute, you know, Ant's success post All-Star break to Ryan Saunders getting fired and Ant kind of getting a boost from Finch's offense. But I think a lot of Ant's post All-Star jump last year was about him kind of slowly brewing in the first half of the year. Like, you remember, he wasn't even starting at the beginning. He was kind of bubbling up over the first 40 games of the year. And so here we are 38 games into this season. And I guess that's what I wonder about Ant. I wonder if he's brewing for something here. And I really don't know the answer. And I think that's why thinking about Ant feels different than Cat and D'Lo. There's this more unknown factor about him. Maybe unknown potential, but also maybe not. Like, maybe this sophomore season will kind of be what it has been. Which, you know, to be clear, it's not like Ant's having a bad year. He's averaging 22, 5.5 boards, 3.5 assists. Last year after the All-Star break, he averaged 24, 5.5, and 3.5. And it's pretty much the same shooting. This year, he's 36% from three. Last year, post All-Star, he was 35% from three. This year, to start the year, he's 51% from two. Last year, post All-Star, he was 54% from two. Which, if you look at the advanced true shooting, like, it was up a little bit at the end of last year compared to this year. But really, those are the same stats. Which isn't to say we're not seeing development from Ant. It's not that he hasn't improved in ways, but you just wonder if he again will turn that corner. And you wonder if he does, what will that look like? And then if he does, what will that impact have on this team winning going forward? That's what I asked Ant about after the game tonight.
And you guys are coming up on an important stretch here. Last season for you was kind of around the halfway mark of the year where your game kind of stepped up to another level. One, is that something that you feel that you can bring here? And two, how valuable would that be to this team that is around 500 this year in a different spot than it was a year ago?
It'd mean much more this year because, like you said, we're around 500. We're going to the playoffs, so it's going to mean a lot this year. And like I said, we got everybody back now, so all the excuses are out the window why we lost this game. So, I mean, I think we're going to go on a run right here, get these next five or six.
Is that where that confidence that you're going to be a playoff team comes from, is having the full group together?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because it's hard to judge us when we don't have D'Lo, or we don't got Cat, or we don't got both, or I'm out, or PB out, because you're missing one of the starters, you know what I'm saying? But we got everybody, ain't no excuses. You got us at full strength, and I feel like we're a hard team to beat.
The nights where the group does play bad, how much do you hear about it from PB?
PB?
Yeah. Seem like he was yelling to you guys quite a bit, like in the fourth
quarter. I mean, he's loud, man. You're going to hear him regardless, like playing bad or good. You know what I'm saying? He's the same person every day. So he's needed on the team for sure.
What does it mean for you to have Russell and Kat back on the floor and just knowing that you're going to have them going forward now?
It's very important for us. And I think it's super important for me because teams can't double me anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because I got Kat. I got D'Lo. Now I'm saying I can play off the ball a lot more. But it's fun when everybody back, man. It's like, it's just fun. Like, we got the whole team. I want to see everybody succeed and just happy to be back together.
What was that like when you were getting doubled consistently? Yeah.
For sure. I mean, just because, like, you can't really get what you want out of it. Like, especially if you're not used to it. You know what I'm saying? So it was miserable.
I think the case for Ant making that turn is about him being put in fewer miserable spots. the biggest thing that drives down his efficiency or his effectiveness outside of, you know, his occasional like 20-year-old aloofness is that when he is put in miserable spots, he often doesn't make great choices, right? When he's getting doubled, he doesn't appropriately adapt. And that boosts his turnovers, that drives down his shooting effectiveness. So I think with Cat and D'Lo back, even if we kind of know who they are, the same guys that Ant has played with for most of the season, what can still happen is that they can help Ant play in better spots. They can help him kind of expedite that turn that I think we all believe is eventually coming. I mean, one way or another, Ant is going to make this jump over the next few years. But I think the optimistic question to ask is, you know, can he make it in the next few months? Or can he at least start turning? I think for the Wolves to be a playoff team, like legit in the real playoffs, like Ant said, that turn probably has to start happening this season. I wouldn't say Cat and D'Lo brought that help tonight, you know, which is somewhat understandable with this being both of their first games out of the protocols. But, you know, Cat only had 17. He wasn't his normal offensive force. And D'Lo really struggled. D'Lo shot 3 of 12 from the field overall. He missed all 5 of his threes. He also had 3 turnovers and just finished the night with only 6 points, which was his lowest scoring game of the season other than that one Orlando game where he got hurt in the first half. So yeah, D'Lo wasn't his normal self like often this year, right? He leads the team in plus minus. Tonight, all the other starters were plus 16 or higher. When D'Lo was out there, he was only plus 1. So without those two on their games, right, for the Wolves to win tonight, it wasn't just about Ant. Surviving this win was about help from other places as well. And we'll get into that here after a quick break.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are back discussing the Timberwolves' 8-point win over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Wednesday night. Before the break, we were talking about how Cat and D'Lo were not, they weren't, it's not that they had, I wouldn't say terrible games. Cat didn't have a terrible game, sure, but neither of them was able to give what they had been giving before they entered the protocols. And because of that, to win, they needed support from elsewhere. And that support largely came from where they had been getting support while Cat and D'Lo were out. From Jaden McDaniels and from Jalen Noel. I want to focus on the Jalen Noel part of it because it was, I think it was interesting on a number of levels. Obviously, we've talked about Noel a lot, but this was in a different context. I came into this game like not sure what we were going to get from Noel tonight. Just because they're back at full strength. We kind of knew that Noel would for sure be back in a deeper bench sort of role. Noel had been awesome recently over the past 5 games coming into tonight. He'd been averaging 15 a game over that stretch, but over the course of those 5 games, kind of precipitously, his production had started to dip game by game as guys like Ant and Beverly and Vanderbilt all kind of trickled back into the lineup. So I wondered with Noel tonight if that pattern would kind of hold. if he would kind of have a quieter sort of game. Clearly, that thought was misguided. Noel had 16 points, and he literally did not miss a shot tonight. He was 6-6 from the field. He also played the entire fourth quarter of the game. And I think that might be the part of this that people latch onto. Because for Noel to close the game, that means D'Lo got benched in the fourth quarter. Phil played the first 4.5 minutes of the fourth, and then he did not come back in like he normally does. And I actually don't think that's the right place to go with this in your head when thinking about Noel tonight. I'm kind of willing to give D'Lo a pass on what was not a good game from him tonight, you know, based on this being his first game back, but also just based on the precedent that D'Lo has set, you know, before he got COVID, of being a player that was clearly driving winning. I kind of go the other way with it. I think Noel's output tonight was encouraging in that it showed he can play alongside the full strength Wolves. Like we haven't seen him play with this group a lot. Like, yes, D'Lo wasn't out there to close the game with Noel, but the other four starters were. And I thought he not only fit in, but kind of opened things up for that group. My favorite bit of things opening up was how Noel relieves stress from Kat, who's consistently being doubled in the post like he always is. You know, as we've talked about at length on here this year, like Kat getting doubled in the post has been the Wolves' biggest offensive bugaboo this season. That's why they're not good in the half court. The only way they've ever been able to kind of solve it is by Kat, once the double comes, is by Kat kicking it out to shooters for skip pass threes or sometimes the occasional cut off of that. But the Wolves have not made those threes on the skip passes at a high rate this season, and the pursuit of those cutters has oftentimes led to Kat, you know, turning the ball over. What I liked about Noel being out there was that Kat could skip it to him when he was doubled, and that Noel is a multi-level threat off the catch, right? When Noel catches it on those skips, he can not only shoot it, but he can attack the scrambling defense when they try to close out on him. He is a player who can attack a closeout and get all the way to the rim. And there was really one time that stood out to me at the end of the game and what I thought was just a really critical play for the Wolves to be able to win this. I asked Noel about the play after tonight's game.
Talk about watching film, something this team has struggled with this year is when Kat gets doubled in the post and you guys got to kind of play off of that. There's that one play in the fourth quarter tonight, Kat skips it to you, you attack the basket for the and one. What did you just kind of see with that action, you know, before you were in the rotation, and how do you feel like you can be part of the solution to that problem?
Well, that play right there is, I think, how it could be a solution to that problem. And I knew he was going to get it to me because, you know, I saw the guy in front of me, my teammate, he cut. So once he cut, my dude came over to help. So once I was wide open, I knew it was going to get to me. It was just a matter of if I was going to shoot it or attack the rim. I decided to attack the rim and got three the hard way. The old-fashioned way.
What prefer you guys as a group when Kat is your primary scorer and these teams are, again, tonight, you know, they got to put the small on them, they're bringing the double, like, how, I don't know, has that been gotten frustrating at all over the course of the year where that has just kind of been the thing that slowed you guys down?
I mean, yeah, of course it's going to get frustrating. If it takes more time than you wanted to, you know, figure that out, it's been definitely frustrating, but I think we're getting to that point where, you know, he's making the right plays out of that double, and, you know, we're just executing.
I've really been hesitant to bury Malik Beasley this year on what has clearly been a season where he hasn't played up to his previous level. I wasn't naive to the fact that, you know, Malik wasn't making shots. Like, yeah, before he wasn't, I could tell he wasn't the player that he was a season ago, but my logic in not wanting to bury him was that It was largely driven by what we were just talking about. Like, the Kat doubles had been the biggest problem for this Wolves offense. And what we had seen was that the best way to solve that was just to, you know, make threes around it. And that felt like the best solution. You know, Beasley shooting 40% from three last year on high volume made him the logical answer, or the logical thing to kind of plug in if that was the solution. But tonight, you know, seeing Noel do what he did really opened up my eyes to the idea that just shooting around Kat isn't necessarily going to be the answer. It doesn't have to be. I still think that, like, if Kat threw 50 skip passes across the way to Beasley, and if he threw 50 skip passes across the way to Noel, like, I think Beasley probably makes more of those. But if Noel can provide something more off the catch in those situations where he can't just shoot it right away, or if he just finds a lane to slash into, I mean, then his value not only catches Beasley's shooting value, but it probably exceeds it. And to that end, he should probably be playing more than Beasley in those spots. I'm also saying this after Beasley had his worst game of the season. He missed all seven of the threes he took tonight. But we're also halfway through the year here, and so maybe we're at the point where it's just naive to think that that high-volume 40% shooter guy is coming back from Malik Beasley. I don't know how exactly, if you kind of boost Noel more, how exactly Beasley's role would change. It would probably mean he's with the bench unit a little bit more, which might be problematic for that group, maybe particularly on defense. But we're kind of running out of solutions for Beasley here, right? Like, I'm definitely not suggesting that they cut Beasley out of the rotation altogether. Like, Beasley and Noel, they don't even really play the same position. They can coexist in the rotation. But at the same time, if we're peeling back Beasley a little bit, I mean, it was already a bit funky that Beasley was the third highest player on this team and only playing like 25 minutes a night. Sliding him back another notch in the pecking order makes that contract he's on even less valuable. Still, I just think this team's trying to compete. Like, we're at the point where Noel just seems to deserve run in an extended, bigger role. Beasley's a place where you can tweak your rotation so as to make that happen. I think Noel earned this over the COVID stretch, the opportunity, and I think he began to kind of confirm that he earned it tonight. The forgotten star of the game has kind of become the Jalen Noel Award over the past few weeks. And again, he's the forgotten star of tonight's game, presented by Forgotten Star Brewery in Fridley. I know I haven't really gotten the chance tonight to talk about Patrick Beverley or Jared Vanderbilt, who I think played a big role in kind of bringing that fire back in the fourth quarter that was gone in the second and the third. But Britt loves those guys, so we'll save talking about Beverley and Vanderbilt tomorrow for Britt when he's on. So we'll wrap tonight on my prize picks, which I stunk it up at. Again, I really thought this matchup tonight was just tailor-made for Cat to be able to kind of go off. I know he was coming out of protocols. I thought the lines, you know, accounted for that. And I just believed it would be a bigger night. I still thought he'd have over 22.5 points and that he, given the very limited OKC front court, like, I thought Cat would make more than 5 free throws as well. Neither of those picks came in. Cat only had 17 and he missed his 5th free throw of the night. So he only finished with 4 makes. I also knew I really wanted to take an over on Josh Giddey, who has just been playing awesome lately for them. Tonight, Giddey was again very good, finishing with 14 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists. Unfortunately, it was the assists that I took, and the over-under there was at 6.5, so I missed that one as well. I do have to say that I thought Jared Vanderbilt did an awesome job on Giddey tonight. He was denying Giddey the ball from the start of the game, and that really threw off OKC's offense during their slow start to the game. Vando is just kind of becoming that dude who can really check all big wings. It reminds me of that guy that every team in the Western Conference is always trying to trade for at the trade deadline so they can put them on LeBron or on Kawhi in the playoffs. My last pick was the under on 7 made free throws for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. SGA finished with 7 makes, so I tied on that one. Not a complete 0-for-4 night for me. Saved it with a tie, which means it was 0-3-1 tonight, which means I'm 0-7-1 over these last two games in my prize picks, which has brought me down to exactly 500 on the season. I'm now 68-68-5. If you want to prove you're better at these than I am, you're probably right. You can try your hand at Prize Picks by downloading the Prize Picks app. They will also give you a $100 sign-up bonus if you create an account using the promo code DANE when you sign up. You won't be able to miss where to throw that promo code in when you are creating that account on Prize Picks. All right, that is all I've got for you tonight. The Wolves are now 18-20 after this win, and I think they have 3 winnable games ahead of them, albeit all on the road. They're at OKC on Friday night, then off to Houston and off to New Orleans from there. I'll discuss that upcoming stretch with Britt when we record Thursday afternoon. You can look for that episode in your feed sometime on Thursday evening. kind of just feels good to have a Wolves team that is back at full strength and just kind of makes a little bit more sense. We can start kind of piecing things together. We'll see where they take this over the course of the next week. I will talk to you all with Britt tomorrow. Until then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.